of course you'd be a sergeant. But if it's not done that way, if it's not, if the individual wants to overlook demeanor, forego this kind of a discipline, and somehow jump into the intellectual, he's not going to make it. It's virtually, not a matter of not going to make it, it's virtually impossible. It's just not, it's not possible because the only way the individual can make it, as I said, is by investing a tremendous amount of energy in that area. And attachment to the extremes of the emotions does not permit it. There has to be the freedom of the energies, of the psychological energies. That's basically one of the discoveries of Avraham Avinu. That's the Derech Hashem. So, and then that's actually how a person, that's the idea of Mahu Afato. Ridamos Elov Yisbarach, which means to say that God is the Makar HaChachmon and the intellect, intellectus, what the Rambam says, the source of all Chachma, and an individual can be like God if his energies, in a human sense, the human level, if his energies are freed from the emotions, from the attachment to the extremes of the emotions, they're not drawn there, so then his energies could be attached to Chachma, to knowledge. In that way, he's godlike. You see, that's Lidamos Elav Yisbarach. And that's based upon the freedom of the energy and the ability to invest large quantities of energy in the pursuit of the knowledge of God. That's Avraham Avinu's discovery. That's why Avraham Avinu, what does Rambam call Avraham Avinu? Amudo Shel Olam. Why is he Amudo Shel Olam? Amudo Shel Olam because he is the one that really discovered the whole objective of life. You see, that's what Rambam says. Val derech zoy olam, ahoy olam, ho lechem esgalzol, it's in Rambam, avodot kachovim, perek alaf alach abeis, the end of alach abeis, ad shenolad amudo shel olam, hu Avraham Avinu. Why was he amudo shel olam? Because he was the one that established the real objective of all human existence. The objective of all human existence is Yedias Hashem, knowledge of God. And he discovered the objective, he discovered God, he discovered the way man has to be in control over his inner world, his inner life, in order to achieve that objective. And that's what I mentioned. What I mentioned last time, that the in the way the Rambam, in the order of the mitzvot, where he has the mitzvot from the Shev Mitzvah Menayach. And then he goes on, and Avraham Avinu was Milah, then he was Misak and Shachris, and Yitzchak Mincha, and Yaakov Meiriv, and etc. And Amram receiving says that all those Achebo Moshe and Nishlam Matar Al Yado is over there. It's not a chefta shel tayag; it's a chefta of vehicles of perfection on the road to Yedias Hashem. And that objective really was started with Avraham Avinu. So the whole Torah is really mashlim. All the mitzvahs is a chenishlam atar yodo, is mashlim the objective of Avraham Avinu. But he's the amudo shel olam because he really established the whole objective of human life. And the mitzvahs that he received and that he himself established were the vehicles through which a person can attain that objective. That's the Amudah Shalom. He established the objective of human life, and the way that a human being has to be constructed, his inner world has to be constructed in a certain way in order to attain that objective. And there's no shortcutting that process, and there's no way to attain the objective without that process. And that's basically what the Rambam is saying. So that's one way
to understand what we mean when we stress the fact that in the Torah you can't just choose, and that's what the Rambam meant in the Moreh Nevuchim when he talks about Kabbonis, that people who don't like the idea of Kabbonis just existing because of the fact that they're channeling away certain energies, or they're freeing certain energies, it has a negative purpose. So then they don't like the Derech Hashem. So these people are going to deprecate the Derech Hashem in general, and these people have a very shallow understanding of what perfection is. They're just attaching themselves to aspects of Yadus which are appealing to them emotionally, either from an egoistic point or from a religious emotional point or whatever the particular attraction may be. But Yahadus is, and that's what the Rambam calls the disease of the spirit. But Yahadus is far deeper, and Yahadus recognizes that perfection is a tricky kind of a business, and that person who is hung up in one area, he could be the brightest, most intelligent, most intellectual, smartest individual, but he's very, very far from perfection. So that's why, that's why every mitzvah plays a role, every mitzvah. The person has to really embrace all of Tayag mitzvahs in order to be on the course of perfection. But to just choose certain mitzvahs that are appealing emotionally is obviously the greatest imperfection and would prevent the individual from attaining perfection. So that's one way which I think is pretty clear to every person when they analyze it and think about it, that is true. But there's something more as well here, and this is a little more subtle. This, what we've discussed until now, is in terms of the quantities of energies that have to be invested in this area, in the area of Yedias Hashem. But there's something else as well, which is of a qualitative nature. And that's something which the Rambam has in the very, very beginning of the Mara, where the Rambam writes to his Talmud, for whom he wrote the Mara. So he writes a little letter there, and in the introduction. And in this letter, he makes an interesting statement. I just got this thing. The very, very beginning of the Mora, where he starts off B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam, and his Talmud Rabbi Yosef ben Rabbi Yehuda. So in this letter, there are a lot of points in this letter that are interesting. But I'd just like to single out one. And then he says, and that's this part where he says that, excuse me one second. Yeah. He says, I perceived that you had acquired some knowledge in those matters from others, and that you were perplexed and bewildered. Yet you sought to find out a solution to your difficulty. And then the Rambam says, I urged you to desist from this pursuit and enjoined you to continue your study systematically. For my object was that the truth should present itself in connected order and that you should not hit upon it by mere chance. Interesting. Very interesting statement. What is the Rambam... Yeah. And just one more thing. The translation, I don't like any translation. I think the Pax is the best, the Hebrew one. But the translation, like the Rambam writes in his letter to Shmuel ibn Tibbon, is a very tricky thing. I mean, it's a very difficult thing, because language is something which has a certain ring to it, and the ring conveys certain ideas. And if it's not going, you're transcending a cultural barrier when you're going from one language to another, and that alone is enough to throw the ideas off. But at any rate, we haven't got much choice here, so unless we study Arabic. But what the Rambam is saying over here basically is getting to the just to the essence of what he's saying, is that he's saying a very interesting thing. He's saying that he would not give him answers to a lot of his questions. So he's saying that he was perplexed and bewildered, and he said, and you were looking for solutions to your difficulties, But yet he says he wouldn't help him out because he says he urged, as a matter of fact, he urged him to desist from pursuing the answers. It's an amazing thing. He says, why? For my object was that the truth should present itself in connected order and that you should not hit upon it by mere chance. And what's the difference? If the main thing is to have knowledge, so as long as you have the knowledge, it would seem, then you're in the ballpark. You're in the right place. You have the knowledge. So what difference does it make if you get the knowledge by chance or if you get it in connected order? I mean, as long as you have the answer, what difference does it make? If you're going to tell me that connected order means you don't really have the answer because you don't have the preliminaries, then you can't say you have the answer. So that's a different point. Then you just don't understand what you're saying. But the Rambam apparently doesn't say that. He says that his student could have arrived at the same exact answer, but there are two ways. Either by chance, in other words, if he would, for instance, tell him the answer, or through a connected order, which means a certain order of studies, of the proper order of studies. What difference does it make? I mean, if you're going to tell me that if you don't go through the preliminaries, you don't have the answer, so then what's the Rambam saying? Of course, he doesn't understand what he's talking about, doesn't have the knowledge. Apparently, the Rambam's saying, even if he has the knowledge, 100%, but if it didn't present itself in the proper way, that's no good. What kind of sense does that make? I mean, what's the difference? Does he have the answer or doesn't he have the answer? If you gave him a test right now with all the most difficult questions about this idea, would he be able to answer the test properly or not? Apparently, the Rambam holds that in terms of the test, he'd answer the same way, whether he got it in connected order or whether he got it by mere chance. Because the Rambam's not discussing the fact, the Rambam's not discussing the idea of whether or not the knowledge is the same. He seems to be saying it's the exact same knowledge. But the only thing is how it comes about. It can come about through connected order, or it could come about through chance. Chance meaning that the Rambam gives him the answer, you see, or somehow or other he happens upon the answer. But that wouldn't be good, he says. That wouldn't be good. Same answer, same knowledge, exact same thing. Well, how is that possible? And what difference does it make? If everything is a matter of knowledge, so as long as you have the knowledge, as long as you can pass the test, so it would seem if you had a very good questioner and then you can answer all the questions, what more is there? It would seem that's it. So what does the Rambam mean? Typical Rambam. And the Rambam considers it so important, I'll tell you why. Because the Rambam says that he realizes that his student was perplexed. By the way, I mean, his Talmud was a great guddle in learning in every area, not just in philosophy. But he wasn't too well known because he wasn't a person that really was interested in being well known. But he was one of the greatest chacham ador. But at any rate, you can understand yourself. The Rambam wouldn't be writing the praises of an individual like this unless he was really a supreme intellect. And a person that's very perfected. But but what the Rambam is saying here is that something far deeper, that you have two individuals. One person has, they both have the exact same knowledge, and yet they're not the same in knowledge. That's what the Rambam is saying. You have two people that have the exact same knowledge and are not the same in knowledge. It's an amazing thing. How is such a thing possible? Yeah. Also, I would add the following, that the Rambam is saying that his Talmud was perplexed. Okay? His Talmud was perplexed and bewildered, and he didn't know the solution to certain problems. It's understood that he's discussing important problems, not just commonplace problems, but important, significant problems that have to do with the highest area of human endeavor, which is metaphysics and metaphysical knowledge. And this Talmud is perplexed and bewildered. Now we have a klal. Halacha says that the Gemara says, "Lo'olam yashlish odom eshnosav." A person should divide his years into thirds. He should spend one third of the time in Mikra, one third of the time in Mishnah, and one-third of the time in Gemara. Okay? And in Svara. So the Gemara asks, how could a person do that? How does he know how long he's going to live? So he can't say, he'll make a cheshbon that he's going to live 90 years, he'll spend 30, 30, and 30, but maybe he dies at 40. So, or he dies at 30, so he'll never be able to even get into the second chapter. Okay? So the Gemara says, no, it means every day. Every day. That a person must do it every day, because every day has to be divided into thirds. So a day is viewed as the unit, the smallest unit of human existence. A day, that's the smallest entity of human. For a human being, that's the smallest entity of human endeavor, the day. That's a unit. So that unit, the smallest unit, should be broken up into thirds. And the Gemara says the same thing about Tshuva. Because the important thing is that the soul should depart in the most perfected state. So you must be sure that the day before the person dies, they have to do tshuva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but how do you know which day it is? Oh, the Gemara says again, so you got to do it every day. You got to tshuva every day. Because the person doesn't know. Next day may not be here. So you see that Chazal held were very realistic in their outlook, and the Rambam passes across their way, that that a person has to realize that even though he has a sense of immortality, but that sense is just an emotion, and he can't allow that to guide the way he plans his existence, his life. But his life should be guided by the realistic attitude, which is the knowledge that today may actually be his last day. So he must be chos b'tshuva every day. And he must be, in terms of his program for learning, has to be established upon the rational basis, not upon the emotional sense that he's going to be here forever. And he has to live according to that. He can't follow the emotion, that sense of immortality. So, which of course is rational. So if that's the case, so the Rambam is saying something even more. Because the Rambam is saying that this Talmud is bewildered and perplexed. Which means that at this point, his soul does not have the knowledge of the solution to these great problems. And, of course, I don't have to tell you, the Rambam holds that the knowledge is the Ava. So that is the perfection is the knowledge. So it means to say that if the person, if that Talmud would have died at that point, so he would have died without the knowledge. So I'll ask you, since a person has to have a rational plan, Chazal say, and the Rambam passes that way, Yashal Shoram Mishnozov, every day you have to be mashlish because you don't know. So how could the Rambam give his Talmud such a sentence, basically? What he's telling him is that if he dies tomorrow, he's going to die perplexed and bewildered, and he could have given him the solution. So he would have had the answer. So one would think that since that's the case, he certainly would be better off. The state of his soul, when a person departs from this existence, the state of the soul at the time of the departing is fixed, and that's it. It can't be changed anymore. So I'll ask you, what would an average person say? Ask a person, which way would you be better off? Be better off dying in a state where the person is perplexed and bewildered, without any solution to important problems, which the Rambam considers the most important problems in the world, and the problems which are the most important for the life of the soul. And here you're saying that the person may die at any moment without that knowledge. And you're saying that he's better off being in a state of bewildered and perplexed. His soul should be in that state rather than give him the knowledge by chance. I mean, one would think on the contrary, that at least he has the knowledge. Okay, so all right, so he didn't arrive at it in the right way. Fine. But at least his soul has the knowledge. So wouldn't he be better off that way? So doesn't the Rambam have to take into consideration what Chazal say, Umi Yodea Kamachaye, and the way the Rambam Paschal is based upon that? And you can't just follow in your life, in your program of learning, the sense of immortality, but you have to, your program of learning has to be in line with reality, based upon reality? Didn't the Rambam open that? So how could the Rambam give him such a sentence and allow him to be in a state where if he were Niftam and Olam, early, before he got the solution, before it presented itself in connected order, and that apparently isn't something which is overnight, which takes a lot of time. So how could he allow him to die in a state of bewilderment and confusion and perplexity without the knowledge and without the answer? Here, you see, I mean, it takes even a more serious turn. That the Rambam held, no, he's better off that way. He's better off passing away from this existence in that state, you see, in a state of bewilderment, rather than have the answer. How is that possible? Doesn't seem to be all a dot. Okay? Yes.
Can you write the Mora for the Talmud?
Yes. Yeah, he wrote the Mora for the Talmud. As a matter of fact, the Mora is not really a book. Not really a book. People think it's an ordinary book. It's not really a book. If you read through his introduction, you'll see the Mora was really a letter, a long letter with many sections that was made public. See, it's not really a sefer. A sefer is something that's written for the public. A letter is something that's written personally to an individual. The Mora Nevuchim is a personal letter that the Rambam allowed to make public. That's basically what it is. If you read that introduction, you'll see. And he never would have written it. It's an amazing thing. Had it not been for certain circumstances, which I think there is no doubt was really purely Ashgachas Hashem, that those circumstances should take place, he never would have written it. He never would have written it. It's an amazing, scary thought. But those events were responsible for a body of knowledge that, without which, I mean, the whole system of Yadus would never be able to be made available to Chachmei Adoros. It's a scary thing, but that's when you read the letter, that becomes clear. Yes.
Hold on one second.
Just give me. I need to take 1 minute. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If he compiled all these letters for the purpose of Talmud, doesn't that go against the premise that he was that the Talmud should come to his knowledge on his own?
Excuse me?
If he compiled all the letters for the...
Well, you have to read further his introduction of how he does it. It's a little more complicated. Excuse me? Yeah, he was well aware of that. I mean, you have to read what his method is.
Yes, also that the guide for the perplexed, not the answer for the perplexed.
Yeah, you have to, yeah. But,
This knowledge that you're talking about, is this similar to the knowledge that's written, that they talk about in Chagiga? Or is this before that knowledge?
I don't understand the question.
Or did they talk about in Chagiga, there's certain knowledge that you cannot...
No, it's not to do with Chagiga. It has to do, what the Rambam is explaining is a general principle here. And it has nothing to do with Chagiga. I mean, that's a separate thing. That's a separate thing about what you're allowed to disclose, what you're not allowed to disclose, how you're allowed to disclose it. That he takes up in his introduction. That the Rambam, that whole question of how you're allowed to do it, he takes up in his introduction. But this is a separate point. It has nothing to do with that. This has to do with any truth, any idea, the Rambam says, is it would be wrong, it would be harmful for the person to have the idea. He'd be better off without it. That's what he's saying. That's an amazing statement. It's an amazing statement. Again, it goes against the whole notion that most people have of the quantifiable intellect. You know what I mean? That's what man is, just a quantifiable intellect. So not so simple. The human soul is not just intellectual ability. That's an important, very important component, very significant component, and cannot be overestimated, but at the same time, it's not just a simple formula. Okay? So, right. So the answer, so the question that we're raising is, how is it possible for two people to have the same knowledge and yet not be the same in knowledge, in terms of knowledge? That's the question. The answer is, that what the Rambam is saying is, that the Rambam over here is really against the popular notion of writing books in order to defend the religion, in order to defend Yahadus. Okay? Now, again, I say it, my statement, I don't want to be taken literally on my statement, I mean, I realize that if you take the statement out of context, you could attribute to me certain things that I don't mean. But I'm still stating it that way because I want to make it clear. What the Rambam is saying is that the idea of defending Yehadus, writing books to defend Yehadus, is not really correct. Why? Because the Rambam is saying is the following. That a person that has a problem, in understanding, again, I mean, I'm qualifying the statement. Under certain conditions, it's appropriate. I'm not saying under all conditions. Under certain conditions, it's appropriate, yet under other conditions, it's inappropriate to do it. And I'll explain to you why. Okay? What the two sets of conditions are. Okay. The condition of why it's not appropriate to write books in order to defend Yehadus is the following. That a person that is in a state of perplexity is in a situation where the soul, you see, the soul is confused. Well, the soul is confused because there are certain ideas that it's embracing, and on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, the system which it believes in, the system of Yehadus, is not fitting into that to that knowledge. Okay, so the person is confused. He's in a state of perplexity. He's torn between two things: between a Mesorah that he's relying on, which he considers to be accurate, and which teaches him a certain thing, and then on the other hand, investigations and knowledge which teach him something else. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. Now the question is, such an individual, what should you do? Should you give him the answer or let him walk around bewildered? The Rambam says he insisted that his Talmud walk around bewildered. Why? The reason is that the soul works, like I was saying before, the way the whole idea of Yehadus, the perfection of Yehadus, is really the function of the soul of man as it functions and as it works in this existence. Okay, not in the ultimate existence. In this, the soul of man functions over here. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Tzelem Elokim, the Tzelem Elokim is tied to the physical and works in a certain way. Okay, there's a certain description for how it functions and how it operates, and the perfection of that element in man is the ultimate perfection. And any time you distort that element, you are removing perfection from a human being. Okay. Now, a person by nature is such that when he's in such a dilemma, so he's torn, and he's fraught with a certain kind of anxiety, you see, because he's an intellectual anxiety, because he's torn between two worlds. On the one hand, his mind is telling him that X is correct. On the other hand, Y seems to be contradicting that. So the soul is torn. Now, if you give the soul the solution, so what happens is the individual will be so excited and so happy that the conflict is resolved that the pursuit of the knowledge for truth's sake will be stopped, okay, will be inhibited. That's what the Rambam says is bad. That's bad. Because the person will just be happy that he justified his situation. Now he's out of the problem. Now he's whole. Now there's no more problem, and the excitement the person will have because they've resolved the conflict will be a negative insofar as the soul's intrinsic pursuit of knowledge, for the sake of knowledge itself, you see. So that's why the Rambam says that many times when you give a person a solution to a problem, you're really harming the individual. Because the individual is in a certain state. And because of the state that the soul is in due to a certain situation that has arisen because of knowledge or conflicting lines of knowledge, so because the soul is in that state, the solution will make that individual so happy that it will resolve a painful situation and that'll be the end of the whole pursuit. You see? So the Rambam says, that's not good. That's not good for the soul. The soul is better off suffering pain and anxiety from the conflict, but still being in a state, still it's in a state of pursuit of knowledge, of the solution of the problem. Then the soul is really still tied to the reality of the quest for knowledge itself. You see? So therefore, that's what the Rambam means. What the Rambam means is, let's say, for instance, a person will ask a kasha, say, look, how can the Torah say this, but we see it's not true, you see scientifically it's not true. I'm just giving an example. It doesn't have to be scientifically. It could be many, many other ways, logically, whatever, philosophically. There are many different types of problems. But if a person would say, I see it's not true, the person would say, so someone would say, I'll show you, there's no problem. Because what the Torah means is this, that fits in precisely with this, and everything's fine. That's no good. Because the individual did not arrive at the solution through the process of pursuit of knowledge. You see, there's a certain way to pursue knowledge. The way to arrive at the solution is to gain more knowledge, and then once the knowledge is gained naturally, then the person sees that the problem is removed. There is no problem. That's a different kind of thing than giving the person a solution. And in the method of following the natural pursuit, there the soul is never harmed. On the contrary, the soul may be suffering anxiety and perplexity. That may be painful. But the fact is that the inner soul is looking for the truth. And as a matter of fact, I mean, the perplexity, in a sense, may even be better, because it causes it's a good thing, because it causes the soul to search harder. So that's a good state. It's a state where the individual is searching for the truth. Now, when the individual uncovers the truth naturally, the beauty of the truth is what the soul is attached to. And then the solution to the problem is like a side thing. It doesn't really... It is the process of gaining knowledge is something which is in line with the natural function and activity of the soul. And when the soul functions naturally, that activity is a natural process, then there is a tremendous attachment to the knowledge. So the solution, it becomes a side thing. But the mind becomes enamored by the knowledge itself. And the fact that there was in the past a contradiction becomes something very insignificant, you see. Becomes insignificant. All the anxiety and the problem becomes, because the person sees the truth, and the truth is so great, and he sees that he understands the truth, he understands that the Torah fits in exactly, precisely with this truth. The soul's attachment to the truth remains intact and enhanced. And the fact that the person has resolved the problem... You see, the fact that the person has the satisfaction that they've resolved the problem and they're out of their perplexity becomes totally secondary. It has no real significance. So since that's the case, you see, since that's the case, that is the only way it's possible to attain a solution, you see, and yet remain completely intact, and the soul remains completely whole in terms of its relationship to knowledge. On the other hand, if you have a person that just has a kasha, he's bothered with that. Torah says this, and knowledge is saying something else. What do I do? He's caught, and he's just given the solution. He's very happy. What will he be happy about? That there's a solution. That he has a solution. He's out of the dilemma. He's out of the problem. Now I could say, okay, I believe in the Torah, and I believe in this. I'm fine. I don't have to worry anymore. You see, the person, the satisfaction over there is in the human being's belief system. He's satisfied with the belief system, but that is not really the highest level. That's not really what the Torah wants. What the Torah wants from man is that the soul should be attached to true chachma, true knowledge. And resolving the problem is really a harm for the individual. As a matter of fact, what the Rambam is saying is that the person would be better off, and this is an amazing thing, the person would be better off to be nifta min ha'olam, you see, in a state of perplexity where the soul is still searching, than to have the solution. Because as I tried to explain last time, perfection means, and this I think is one of the principles of the Mara, perfection, descriptively, to describe, we have to have descriptions of it. We run out of words and definitions. But as a matter of fact, you see, it's an interesting thing that Agavorcha just mentioned, that when we're learning halacha, so we're learning halacha, we're never satisfied with description. We always say what we need is a definition, because the definition is more precise. A description is, common parlance. I mean, it's not really, it's literature, I mean, Shakespeare is descriptive. He's not definitive. That's why he's not a real psychologist. I mean, he knows a certain sense of psychology, a certain description, but it's not definitive. It's not a science. So when you're learning, you want a science. You want a precise definition. But when you're dealing with metaphysics, you reach a point where you can only be satisfied with description. That's one of the principles of the Mara. And that's why the Rambam explains that that's the whole concept of Mare HaNavua. Because you see, the Nevi'im, how do they express their Navua? Description. So it's an amazing thing that a person goes from common description to more precise definition, but then in the ultimate world of knowledge, it goes back to description. It's an interesting thing. But that's, I believe it's one of the premises of the Mara. That's really, the Rambam shows what a Mare HaNavua really is. A Mare HaNavua is a description because it's as close as you can get to the idea. Definition becomes impossible in the real world of metaphysics. And that ties in very much to what I'm to what I want to explain here, and that is that the idea of perfection can best be described as the closeness of the soul to knowledge, to ultimate knowledge. The closeness of the soul to ultimate knowledge. And now closeness is a description. But that is as close as we can get. Okay? And that's why the Rambam gives that mashal over there. The Rambam, famous mashal in the Mor Nevuchim, of how distant a person is from God. And he has different people, and he has a mashal of the house and the gates and I believe he ties Migdash into that, the whole idea of Migdash. Very interesting. But the... But basically, what's the bottom line is that he's showing in the descriptive form, the distance between man and God, okay, or the closeness of man to God, depending on the individual, okay, and depending upon how you frame it. I mean, both are true. Hashem Meirochek Nir Elai. We're distant, and yet, in a sense, we're close. But the, and it's not a contradiction, but the, But the point that I want to make is that over here, I think you come to the crux of the issue of the idea of perfection in a qualitative sense. That's why I said before I discussed it in a quantitative sense of how a person who's not perfected cannot possibly achieve any kind of level. I don't care how smart he is. It's a joke. It's like virtually impossible. It's like saying a person will have the most perfected automobile, and he'll never put on the engine, or put on the engine for a few seconds and he expects to get somewhere. He just can't work. That's one. That's the quantitative. But there is also a qualitative aspect to this, and I think the qualitative is extremely significant. On a metaphysical way, it's more significant. But it's a little more difficult to comprehend. But what the Rambam is saying is that the soul, in terms of knowledge, can only be described. And the description is the closeness of the soul to knowledge. Now, an individual may not have a certain factual, material content in his soul, and yet he will be closer to knowledge than another individual who has the material content of the answer, of the solution. Okay? That's what the Rambam is saying, basically. That one person can have the answer, the solution. You give him a bechina, he'll be able to answer it perfectly. You have the most brilliant professor, the most brilliant questioner interrogate him, or he'll give perfectly the answer. Another individual will not be able to give the answer, because he doesn't have the answer. He didn't happen upon the answer by chance, or fail the test. But this individual's soul is closer to truth, closer to knowledge, you see, than the other individual that has the factual answers, has the substance of the intellectual answer. That's what the Rambam's saying. Because perfection of the soul is the closeness of the soul to God and to knowledge. And that's something which is measured differently, cannot be measured at all by quantitative knowledge in a quantitative method. Cannot be measured. I'm saying to his Talmud that if I would give you the answer, your soul would be more far removed from knowledge than it is right now. Because, as I said before, the joy of the solution will take up all the energies of the soul. And if he didn't give him the answer, so then the soul is still straining and searching for the ideas. Then it is closer to knowledge in that state, you see, than having the answer and being turned off from the area. If the soul continues in its quest and its pursuit, its natural pursuit, it continues and it arrives at a solution, then it will not be harmed by the solution. Because then the process that it underwent is such that the knowledge emerged naturally, the way the soul is made to function, and the soul will be enamored and will embrace that knowledge in a primary way. The solution will become secondary, unimportant, and the attachment of the soul to the knowledge will then be completed. You see, then that's the highest, most perfected state. But the Rambam, in that little introduction over there, the Rambam really sets forth the nucleus of our whole concept of what intellect is, what knowledge is, what perfection of the soul is, and how different it is than what most people think is simply a quantifiable amount of knowledge. Who has the solution? Who has the answer? And that's really the difference. That's the difference, basically, basic difference between Agav Orcha. I mean, what the Rambam brings in from this point, I mean, is the difference between the metaphysical knowledge and between knowledge of halacha, where I said in halacha everything must be defined. It's definition, it's precision. That's like scientific knowledge. It has to be precisely defined. When in the area of metaphysics, the soul gets into an area where there's nothing more than the soul itself grasping, attempting to grasp and to relate to a certain source of knowledge. And that's why the Rambam says that area is, the Rambam's lashon is that's something the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka says. Where's the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka? In the Hilchas Yisori HaTorah, the way the Rambam describes it. Just a second. Okay. So like this. He says, when he talks about the knowledge of God, he talks about how the Nevi'im saw God. So he says, it's in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. So he says that, Im Kain Ma'u Zesha Kosovatar Vesachas Raglov. What about Ksuvim Be'etz Balekin? Yad Hashem, Einei Hashem, Ozne Hashem, the Kayotze Bidvarama Elu? So the Rambam says, "Hakol l'fi daiton shel bnei odam hu, she'inon makir ne'lo agufo." So divrei Torah kolosh bnei odam. "Hakol," he says, "kinu yemein, shenema I'm shenosi burakarbi v'chi cherev yeshlo, u'becherev uhoreg ela mashal, v'hakol mashal." Raya l'davar, he says, that's a basic thing for every individual. But then he says, "Raya l'davar shenavi echad omer shera." He says the echad ro chamutz begadim batra. Moshe Rabbeinu atzmo ro al yom kigibar osam ochama. ubisin says much mina atzma. Notice. Ro ala yom kigibor osa mochama. Ubisinai kishliach tzibor otos. Okay, so it's an interesting thing. At first sight, it seems the Rambam is speaking about commonplace things. Ein Hashem, Ozne Hashem, it's all derech mashal. But then he says the Nevi'im also had something similar. Okay, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmo, even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNevi'im, saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kigibor at one point on the Yom, he saw him Kigibor Osu Mochama, and at Sinai he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tzibor Otof, Loma, She'ein Lo Dmus V'tzura, Ela HaKol B'mari HaNavua U'B'machaze. And then he says, V'anitas HaDavar, Ein Daito Shel Odom Mezin, V'lo Yecholo La'asigo L'chokro. Okay? And then he says, V'zeh Shomar Kosev Acheka L'katinto, Im HaTachlus Shakaitinto. So the Rambam says it's impossible for a person to be masig and to understand. And the next halacha, he says, even with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu's request for knowledge, Veshiva Baruch Hu Shein Koach Bedas Oda Machai Shehu Mechubah Miguf Nefesh Lahasig Amitas Dover Ze Al Burio. It means to say that, and the Rambam elaborates in the Mora also, that it means to say that there's an area of knowledge where the human mind cannot define it. It's impossible for the human mind to have a definition. So in our struggle for definitions in halacha, that's justified. That's correct. Halacha we have to define precisely. But there's an area of knowledge which is beyond definition, beyond precise definition, because ein adam yochol lahasig adavar al burya hacheker lakatenta. So it means to say, but in that area, does that mean the area doesn't exist for man? No. The area exists for man, but over there, it is simply, what you have in that area of knowledge is just the soul's grasping for knowledge. Just the closeness of the intellect to the knowledge. But the knowledge can never be crystallized. It's an amazing thing. It's knowledge without a material substance, so to speak. Okay, there are no quantifiable ideas, but it is still a closeness of the soul to God. It's an amazing thing. And that's the ultimate state of metaphysics. And the Rambam in his introduction to the Mara explains that even the greatest individual, he says, that's his mashal, where he says that even the greatest individual, he says, will never see the light. There will never be light. But he says it's always a dark night with interrupting flashes of lightning. And he says, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the flashes are constant, one after another. They're contiguous. So the whole night is in constant, continuous flashes. So he says that's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But what does it mean? What does it mean, flashes? It means to say Moshe Rabbeinu never sees it clearly. Never really sees it clearly. But it's Ein Koach Ba'odom Lahasig Hadavar Al Boyo. It's impossible for man to crystallize this knowledge. But does that mean if there's no crystallization of knowledge, there's no knowledge? No, not true. Yada says no. Yada says that the Mare Hanavua, the descriptive Mare Hanavua, is something which is very deep and which hits the core and the soul of man and his relationship to God in terms of the soul's relationship to the knowledge of God, you see. And yet it's an area which is so far beyond the intellect that the ability to define precisely is God. And the soul is lost in description. But the description is not nothing. It's still a certain grasp of knowledge. It's just a grasp of knowledge. That's all. So basically, that's what the Rambam is saying, really. The idea, that's why I said both ideas are very significant. And that's why Yehudah holds that perfection for man is not a simple matter. It's not like a person's ego would want to believe at first. That if I just sit down and master Shas, and then that's it. Now I have it. It's a quantifiable thing. It's a very satisfying emotional feeling, but it's also a very, very false feeling, you see, because that is not what perfection is. That's why chesed plays a role, mitzvahs play a role, the whole system plays a role, because God created the system in a way that it, that the person that follows that system will arrive at a point where the personality is perfected. But the personality being perfected is not a simple thing, not just a matter of knowledge. If you want to say what it is, the closest you could say, the best way to describe it would be, it's a certain grasp of the soul of knowledge. That's what it is. But that grasp of knowledge of the soul, you see, it is knowledge, and that was the question I started off with. I said, it seems to be a tata sasri, because if it's knowledge, it's not midos, and midos not knowledge. So there's two answers. One is the quantitative answer I mentioned at first. That's a simple mechanical answer. But there's something far beyond that in the qualitative world, a little bit more difficult to understand, but to my mind more significant. But they're both important. But the idea is, if you'd sum up the perfection of man, you would say it's the grasp of the soul of knowledge. But that grasp, that term, the grasp of knowledge, takes in an awful lot and is very far removed from what a professor thinks would give as a criterion for his students as to whether they understand his lectures or whether they understand the courses or not. It's very far removed from that idea. That's a quantifiable idea, which is a very shallow surface idea in terms of the system, the true system of Yahadus, which really recognizes that man's soul is not a simple thing, many, many, many factors involved. It is knowledge, but not knowledge the way people think of knowledge, but knowledge in terms of the soul's grasp or relationship to Yedias Hashem, to true knowledge. And that's something which requires Tayag Mitzvahs, and you cannot belittle or you cannot deprecate any aspect of it. If you do, then it's like the Rambam says in the Mora, then you have the disease of the soul, that the Derech Hashem is not good enough for you, and when Nocham Lekim Derech has volition, won't appeal to you, because that is emotionally not in line with your idea of the things that your emotions naturally, out of imperfection, attach themselves to. You see. So that's basically the answer. Okay, any questions? I would go further, but I really think that unless you have questions on this, I would rather stop here.
So we have a question.
I'll take the question, because I feel that sometimes certain areas, I'd rather stop on this area, because I think it's something that's worthwhile considering, and I think if I go further, I'd rather leave you with this thought and have you think about it, unless you have a question on the area.
There's a question on the area.
Go ahead.
According to what we're saying in terms of the acquiring knowledge, how to acquire knowledge.
Yeah.
What would you say is the you have the Maisa in the Gemara by Rabbi Akiva, by the Tanaim, that one knew the Maisa Markava, one knew Maisa Bereishis.
Right.
And they want to trade off. You teach me this, and I'll teach you that.
That's correct.
So how would we understand that Maisa according to what we're saying now?
According to what we're saying now.
It sounds like it's giving over the knowledge. He didn't really learn on his own. He just says, listen, tell me this, and I'll tell you that, because I have this knowledge, you have that, we'll make a trade.
Yeah. Well, you see, actually, that's what the Rambam points out. The Rambam says that with regard to the Maisa Markava, and even Maisa Bereishis, but you have to know what the difference is in Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Markava. I mean, we'll have to hopefully return to that. But basically, there's one idea there, and that is that you only give over Rashi Prakim in those areas. You're not allowed to give over to the person, even in person. Even the Ish Mipi Ish is not allowed to you're not allowed to give over to the individual details of the area. That's for a lot of reasons. One reason is based upon what we're saying right now, what the Rambam says to his Talmud, and that is because the knowledge has to appear to a person in a natural way, not as a solution, you see, but as a result of a natural quest of the soul. So if you give over the details, you're really squelching the soul's pursuit. So you're not allowed to do that. On the other hand, you are allowed to guide the soul of the individual in a certain direction. That's not going to harm, that will not harm the individual. And that's why it's only Rosh HaPrakim. The Rambam insists, and Rambam's introduction mentions, he's not going to give answers here, just Rosh HaPrakim, basically. Okay? And the reason is because there is no perfection, again, if the individual is just given solutions. So Rosh HaPrakim is guidance. Guidance. Now, a person that is not ready, so Rosh HaPrakim could be harmful. Because since the person does not, you can't explain in detail what you mean, but you're only giving guidance, so guidance is only good if a person, I mean, if you go, if a person's, the person is going on a trail, so you have little signs that tell you, you know, guide the person along the trail. But if you took those signs and put them in the city, no one would have any idea what those signs represent. So in order to understand what that sign means, you have to be on the trail. In the framework of the trail, the sign makes sense. But if you take that sign and put it in and put it in Midtown Manhattan, no one would understand what it means. It doesn't make any sense. So in order for the sign to make sense, you must have the framework. And if the person does not have the framework, they're not up to the level, so the sign that you're giving them, they're going to look at that sign. And it would be similar to taking a sign off a trail in the wilderness, you know, and you put it downtown, and people start attaching different ideas to it. They'll say, oh, it must mean this, it must mean that. They'll start going in different directions based upon a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of the sign. Of course, their framework is wrong. So that's the same thing with metaphysics, that since metaphysics, you cannot give details, you can only give a marker, you can only give a sign, so there's a big problem. Because if you give the details, you're squelching the whole process, which is wrong. And then the soul is going to be further away from knowledge, like the Rambam says. If you don't give the details, so the person who is in a certain framework and sees the sign is going to start attaching wrong significance, wrong ideas. And the person will start going in wrong directions. So that's why you can't do it. That is precisely why you cannot give over metaphysics. That's why you can only give it over to a person. That's what Chazal means. A person who has all the greatest qualities, the whole list of qualities that Chazal enumerates, that the Rambam enumerates, then they're on the trail. Then you give them the marker is great. Tells them exactly where to go, they understand, and they can traverse the trail and arrive at the summit successfully. But if you don't follow that procedure exactly, then it can only lead to terrible harm. That's basically the reason. That really explains the whole concept of why metaphysics is something that cannot be taught in the ordinary sense. And again, it's based on the idea that it's not quantifiable definitions. Not quantifiable definitions. Even Moshe Rabbeinu lo yada es hadavar aburyo. He really couldn't. He couldn't define. Moshe Rabbeinu could not define exactly what he saw. He saw it, and his soul was as close as any human being's soul can ever be to the knowledge, but he didn't have definitions. It was descriptions. Okay? Moshe Atzmo, Nira, what was Ram's Russian? Nirlo ke ishmochama layam, and the Sinai kishliach tzibur otaf. I mean, that's even Moshe Rabbeinu is involved in the perception of God is a certain closeness to the knowledge, but the knowledge cannot be. It's not definitive. It's descriptive. Descriptive. That's basically what the Rambam is saying.
Yeah, Rebbe.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, insofar as this idea of the soul's quest for truth. I'm just curious. There is in the area, in as far as halacha is concerned.
Yes.
So again, you have the same. I would imagine you should have the same danger that they're just looking for answers. And yet in halacha on a daily basis, obviously you have shiurim and all the secrets of the sugya given away.
No, that's not the same thing in halacha. Because in halacha, there's plenty of areas of halacha. If I give you an answer in one area of halacha, so, your soul wants to engage in pursuit of halacha, there's plenty of sugyas you don't know. I mean, I'm not harming you. How am I harming you? It's only in this one area where you're dealing with the ultimate knowledge which perfects the soul. But in halacha, one sugya is the same as another sugya. You can't tell me that if you learn a sugya in Cheskas Abatim, that it's a different type of thing than you learn a sugya in Shabbos. So if I give you the answers, you need to know what to do in Shabbos, so I give you the answer.
But you wouldn't say there are many
the
areas...
The soul's pursuit of knowledge? Learn another sugya. It's funny, you never get around a sugya.
You wouldn't say there are many areas of metaphysics in the same way?
No. Because in metaphysics, the area, the specific area, results directly in closeness or distance from God. But in halacha, it doesn't work that way. A specific sugya in Shabbos is not going to make you any closer than a specific sugya in Bava Kamma. The knowledge is not, it's a different kind of a thing. It's not the specific knowledge. Whereas in metaphysics, it's the specific knowledge. In halacha, you can't harm anybody. Halacha, oh yeah, the one thing I wanted to mention was, in halacha, you can't harm anybody. Halacha, you always tell, otherwise you could never... It's a different kind of a thing, because it's not the quest of the soul to closeness to God in a specific sense. Yeah, halacha generally has an effect on the soul, that it places the soul in a certain condition where the closeness to God becomes possible. But it's not the specific subject matter of halacha that perfects. Whereas in metaphysics, the subject matter itself is the perfection. What does the Rambam say? Yediyas Hashem is the avas Hashem. It is the perfection. That is a tremendous difference in halacha between metaphysics.
Rabbi?
Yes. One thing, but I want to say one thing. Yeah, the only time I would say, when I was very hesitant because, I mean, I know that when you say things, especially these days, people like to attack, so they'll take things out of context. So I wanted to make sure. I mean, I know the tapes go out. I want to make sure that, that what I said shouldn't be taken out of context. But the thing is that there is only one time in that you could violate that rule, the rule of the Rambam, which is to give a person an answer, a solution to a dilemma, a metaphysical dilemma, even though you're short-circuiting the process and you're harming them. That is only if you see that the whole system is endangered and that the individual is liable to lose out completely and deviate from the path. So that's why the Rambam himself writes, I remember Pacey showed me, I don't remember exactly where, the Rambam himself writes that he violated that rule, I believe it was with regard to writing down in the beginning of Yesodia Torah the solutions. Of course, a lot of those things are solutions to important problems, so why did the Rambam write it? But I believe what the Rambam says is that the reason he did it was because otherwise he saw that people were so far gone that if, in terms of the ideas of God, that if he doesn't write this down, then they're completely lost. So then, of course, the soul is as far from God as is possible. In order to prevent that, this is better. But this is not the ideal. This is not the ideal situation. Okay. So therefore, that's why the Rambam wrote the Hilchos Yesodei Torah, where he disclosed certain ideas in a manner where he didn't want to do it, because in a way it's really harmful in a certain sense. But he had to do it, and he did it. He did it simply because there was no choice, because he saw that people were under such crazy illusions that they're completely away from God. So therefore, he saw it necessary to write the first prakim in the Yesodei Torah. I believe it's something like that. I mean, is basically there?
Yeah.
Is that basically what it says?
Right.
So
in the beginning of Tchias Amesim, Mamat Tchias Amesim.
So therefore, you see that the Mamat Tchias Amesim. So therefore, you see that that's why I start off. I said that is the only exception. That is the only time you can make an exception to that rule. So then you are better off having the knowledge than dying in the state of perplexity. Because in the state of perplexity there, then the guy is completely far gone. He doesn't know whether God is physical or he's not physical. I mean, that kind of perplexity the soul cannot tolerate. It's simply worthless. His existence is completely worthless. So then he has to have the solution, even though it's not presented in the natural way. But he has to know the truth. So there are certain times, certain things where the soul will be more distant without the solution, but it's not the solution given in the proper manner. But that's because the society is so corrupt that that people walk around with notions and ideas that are so far away from Yahadus and so far away from the Derech Hashem and from the teachings of Avraham Avinu that you have to do something about it. But you have no choice. I mean, so that's what the Rambam says. But that's the only exception. But when the Rambam was writing to his Talmud, he knew that wasn't the problem. The Talmud had the basics and understood he was a good lador, going on. So he knew. So for him, perplexity is the better state of existence than having the solution. So that's the only exception. I wanted to get back to that. That's why I said when I started off, that my statement is qualified. So if a person is writing books to give solutions, so the Rambam would say, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, unless the person is trying to remove such false notions that would totally destroy the soul completely. But otherwise, to simply give solutions is not a good idea, because the person is better off without the solution. If the individual is one that is that is in the proper framework of knowledge and is following the whole program of Torah, I mean the proper program of learning. Okay, any other questions?
Is it on page 9?
In the Moral also, in the Friedlander. Page 9.
On page 9.
Page 9 of what?
In the Friedlander, in the Moral. In the intro.
Where he mentions what?
I rely on two precedences, and he mentions the Eight Pasos of Hashem.
Okay, good. So the Rambam is consistent. That's the Rambam. That's right. Okay, very good.
The only
exception. Yeah.
You mentioned that in your formulation that the mitzvahs are an integral part of perfection, and not just the knowledge itself. Of course, that how could Torah Nasa ever work? It's like a
steering wheel. Tarasso Nasso is only when the soul has reached a certain level.
But it can never reach that level because what you're saying is that the
myth. I didn't say it can't reach that level. I didn't say it can't reach. It can reach that level, but the level has to be reached through the process of through the program of Torah. The Torah's program is targets the soul of man. That's what its objective is. Okay, but the program, you have to follow the program. I mean, at a certain point, the program tells you that you should not do these things so much, you can do other things. So at one point, it tells you, like the Rambam says, that tefillah is indispensable. That without tefillah, you could never get there. Impossible. On the other hand, at a certain point, the person has to abandon tefillah and be osek in Torah more. That's terasa naso. But that's all part of the program. I mean, the program is perfect. Okay? But obviously, what's clear, on the contrary, that's exactly where you see the perfection of the program. It's not the same for every person. It can't be, because there are different levels that the person is existing on, and for each level, you need a different kind of a program. So on the contrary, that's what the Rambam's talking about in the Mora, where he says that if a Navi would come to the people and would say that the only perfection is Yedias Hashem and nothing else, and don't be mispalel and don't do anything, he'd be talking about a person that's like Moshe Rabbeinu. So or a person that's on the level of Nevi'im. For the Hamon Am, it wouldn't do him any good, because the soul has to make the trip, and the only way to do it is through perfecting the soul on every level. But on the contrary, Tarasam Naso is a certain level, but the program tells you that you can't do that unless you're on that level. When a person is on that level, that's the right thing for the person. Okay? All right. We'll stop here.